All right, the MVBs, I would like for y'all to check. I heard a lot of absence. Make a call and check and make sure that the people under you realize how important it is for them to be online for these importations. So check your absentees and get from them a reason why they were not online. I mean, some may have a reason they wasn't online, but we need to know what's the deal. I heard it's a lot of absentee. Let's get that straight. And then we ask the Father to help us today as we go into a lesson about the apostolic mantle that the church and this generation needs so bad to understand the difference between having the right religion and having the right relationship. With the technology and all of the things the world offers now, Father, we as leaders need to know how to pass on your presence to the people that is under us. We thank you for all of your revelation that you've given us over the years. Help us to move out in the apostolic as we should with divine direction in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16 is one of the longest apostolic sentences that you're going to hear. If you notice that from the 11th verse to that 16th verse, you get a period at the end of the 16th verse because it's so important that we as ministers know what we are to pass on to those who are under us. There are three statements I'm going to make, things that I'm studying. Number one, God gifts to the generation. Number two, give my presence, very important, to the coming generation. And number three, understanding God's presence through apostolic mantles. Understanding God's presence. Now, you notice the apostolic mantle in Ephesians 4. There's another scripture I want you to take note of. It's in Acts 2:39. It says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are for all, even as many as the Lord our God should call. Now, take notes on these statements. It says, truly, this is a promise to generations. The purpose of God must transcend the limits of every generational group in order to produce a future of strong believers in Christ. We must transfer everything that we know about God our spiritual sons and daughters. Let me go over that now from Acts 2:39. The purpose of God must transcend the limits. See, we can't have no limit. The infinity of God. He's an unlimited God. Transcend the limit of every generation of group in order to produce a future of strong believers in Christ. So there it laid out in Ephesians 4:11. 16, that's what we must be doing. We must transfer. Now, the word transfer is very important. It's not so much as, let me see, can I pause here and say, it's not so much as just translating. We must transfer. And in order to transfer sons and daughters, we must have it. And so the rituals and the religion and the routine is not enough, because what we're doing is still alive. It's still revealing to us the presence of God. The presence of God is so unlimited that it never runs out. So we are transferring everything we know about God to our spiritual sons and daughters. Here's another statement. It is important to us, to our prosperity, to know exactly what we must hand down to those who follow us. So it is my job as your spiritual father, as your leader, to make sure that we know what we must hand down to the generation under us. We must not get stuck in our organization. We must not get stuck in normal pattern. I like what one of the apostles talked about, having unusual church. Unusual, not the same old thing. So he says, as spiritual leaders, and we all are, we can pass on to our spiritual sons and daughters that will enhance the DNA of their destinies and give them the opportunity to powerfully accomplish the purpose of God. So there's destiny, there's the purpose of God. We have to not religiously, routinely, I'm saying it again, follow the format of normality. Our expectancy should be based on that Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, is to bring people to the full stature of the gift of Christ, which is unending. We'll never, in our generation, we'll never finish it. But the Lord is constantly revealing himself, and we have to pass it on. So when you make the statement as spiritual leader, what can pass on to our spiritual sons and daughters that which will enhance the DNA of their destinies and give them opportunity to powerfully accomplish the purposes of God? Here's the answer. Give my presence to the coming generation. Now, note the difference between visitation and habitation. We're not trying to get God present. We already got his presence. It's, I heard one apostle say, it's not the presence that we try to get. It's knowing how to make the presentation of the present that already exists. And we're not trying to get a visitation from God, because God is present with us all the time. So it's not a visitation, it's a habitation. All right? The assignment of leaders everywhere, especially the apostolic leaders in the kingdom of God, what you are, is a mandate to deliver more than, here we go, more than tradition. And the other one won't say ouch. You're going to say ouch on the next one. More than teaching. You say ouch on the next one too. More than testimony. We are not only commissioned to take the gospel of Christ and the kingdom of God to the nations, but we are to deliver God present that will shift the position of believers and literally redefine their identities as kingdom citizens. That's so important, what I'm about to read to you next, but I want to go back over this. So I don't know how far we'll get on it. I'm just going to stay on it until we get it all out and we can incubate it and relate to it. And I want to base it all on Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. There are other scriptures I will call, but we got to have a mandate of manifesting in those who are on us that Ephesians chapter 4. So he said, assignment of leader, I'm repeating, everywhere, especially the apostolic leaders in the kingdom of God, is a mandate to deliver more than traditions, teaching, and testimony. We're not only commissioned to take the gospel of Christ and the kingdom of God to the nation, but we're to deliver God's presence, delivering God's presence, that will shift the position of believers and literally redefine their identities as kingdom citizen. Now, I'm going to deal in my class tonight at my Bible study a apostolic revelation that I think the body of Christ needs to know. Those of you who can tune in to it. We have a Mosaic mandate, and like the prophet Moses, we're to deliver I am to the present generation and to the generation to come, that I am identity. I'll say a little more about it now. God described his name to Moses as I am. The name I am is the past, present, and future expression of God's identity and infinity. God's identity. I am means I have it now. So everything that God promises is already ours. But the generation don't know it because they've got off in religion. They've got off in tradition. They've got off in feeling good. They've got off in relaxed atmosphere. They got off in casual resistance of God. And we got to make sure they come back to the firmness of God's presence and God's manifestation and demonstration, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5. And in the second book, Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, Paul said, everything else I do going to emanate from this revelation. which is power, which is the ever-present presence of God. God described his name to Moses as I Am. The name I Am is the past, present, and future expression of God's identity and infinity. I Am, or have it now, infinity means is unlimited. It represents the ever-present presence of God. Now, this is such a powerful realization of God that it literally infuses eternity into the hearts of people and give them a sense of awareness of the plans and purposes of God in ways they have never known. Now, in the presentation that I'm going to make tonight, I'm going to talk more about eternity, what eternity means. But here it's a powerful realization of God that it literally infuses in eternity into the hearts of people and give them a sense of awareness of the plan and purpose of God in ways that they have never known. These are some of the things we need to be passing on. Here's one for us. Present versus personality. It is easy to develop a system that mimics the activity of temple worship and gives the appearance of a real divine connection. In other words, we have to make sure in this generation, and pastors, the people that are under us, prophet, apostle, we got to make sure to develop a system that mimics the activity of temple worship and give the appearance of a real divine connection. We have to make sure, I have to make sure, that you take your time to be under me, that we have a real divine connection with the presence of God 24 hours a day. Not just when we're praying, not just when we are reading the Bible, but we must be aware that God's presence is with us all the time and willing to present any promise he has given to us at any given moment when we need it. We must, whether we feel like it or not, whether it look like it or not, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what it look like, you must back up from the situation. Stop looking on the outside or hide look. Stop reacting. Learn to respond. Learn the realization of the presence of God that whatever going on, it's going to work out together for your good. And sometimes it's just time to enjoy the fullness of his presence and don't say anything. Have that divine connection. I know we go through certain things, and it must be ministered to. It says, however, when most people who serve in these type of environments, when they are finished with their devotional period, they are still empty and unfulfilled. Now, that environment without the divine connection that I'm a habitation of God's presence, God is always present, and I have to learn in my connection how to make a presentation of his presence in any situation that I'm in. If not, the people will go through their devotional period or come to church, clap their hands, sing, but they are still empty and unfulfilled in the aspect of being aware of that divine present connection. This popularity of Jesus' personality is overwhelming, but his presence is astoundingly absent from the lives of so many people and in so many churches. In other words, the personality and the power of Jesus is not the same as his presence. And so what I'm saying to you today is that we must learn how to have that divine connection ourselves when we minister, not just teaching, not just giving testimony, but we are passing on the gift of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to hear this well, because this is real dangerous ground we have to deal with. I sort of talked to my men on Wednesday about coming dressed all down. It has something to do with it, of expectation. So I'm working in my ministry that my men dress properly and that they come expecting from God and dress kind of presidential to have the excitement of this business. It's important. But here's what we're going to do here. With the advent of user-friendly churches and relaxed atmosphere, just come in the way you want, beach level or whatever, head on in the church, there has come, now watch me come, there has come a casual resistance. I want you to write that down. A casual resistance to the need for deeper and more spiritual things. In other words, in this generation, through these user-friendly churches, they're going to have big crowds that come because they're looking for a relaxed atmosphere. Now, the Lord Jesus produced a restful atmosphere, but we have to be on our toes because we can't get so relaxed that it's normal, just like going to a football game or going to a golf game or something like that. We have to realize that any given moment, God can take us to another depth or to another height, to another level, to an introduction of a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ, because none of us on this line has the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ because it's infinite. So you see in this atmosphere where they will be relaxed, they dress any kind of way, just, you know, just praising now, heard they serve coffee in church, in the service. So we just, our generation are getting so technical and so relaxed with the normal pattern of the world. We got to stay anointed. We got to stay convicted. Yes, we got to walk in love. Yes, we got to walk in compassion. I understand that. We don't have to be judgmental. I understand that, you know, because someone will call you out on that. But don't let that stop you from doing what's best for the people, to not only have the personality and the power or the provision, but recognize more important than all of that is to recognize the presence of God that is on the inside of them. We must be mindful of the word which was spoken by Jesus in John 4:24. You remember what he said, God is the Spirit, that they worship him, but worship him in spirit and truth. Now, here we're going to hit something, and I love it, that I don't remember how far back it was, but people really thought it was real deep. People are asking, what would Jesus do? But as popular as it is in the presence of God. And it doesn't provide the true sense of guidance and empowerment that we receive directly from a close covenant relationship with him. So, you know, what would Jesus do? They got all excited. They didn't stand it all, and they had initials of it. But that's still not the presence of God. The WWJD slogan cannot become a substitute for the presence of God. You see, it came in, it faded out, because it's only the presence of God can substantiate spiritual value. There's another one, and I know all of you are going to be identifying this. You've been in calling, I've been in the church. Many religions have adopted the term higher power without giving a real identity to the deity that they are referring to. You know, you're talking about the higher power. This anonymous representation of God is both insufficient and insulting, seeing that the real sense of power which comes from the true and living God is in the fact that he wishes to be personal with us and to make himself fully known and manifested through us. Not just talking about the higher power, but having some manifestation and demonstration in your life and in your ministry that people can see that actually God is manifesting himself. Now, most of you all have studied this text or have seen this text. I'm about to pick it apart there in Acts 17, verse 23-28. He talks about the unknown God that Paul explained. In him we live, we move, and have our being. Acts 17, I want you to read it. Acts 17, 23-28. I know you read it before, but I'm about to say some things about it. The Apostle Paul had a thought-provoking experience in a place known as Mars Hill. He addressed the issue of anonymity as if it was not known that was thrust upon God. Listen now, listen very carefully. There's no greater statement that addresses the reality of God's identity than the word was spoken by Paul in this setting to a people who didn't know their God, and to a large degree with all of the ceremonies, with all of the activities, oh hallelujah, with all of the scriptures memorized, with all of the sermon and the sermonette, and all of the teaching and all of the organization, all of the rules and all of the regulation that is in our generation, technology is going around it like it's not even moving. We must get back to the intimacy, to the divine connection. We must prepare ourselves with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God in combination, with the anointing, the authority in combination, that those whom we mentioned to will understand that God is bigger than anything that man can invent, no matter how technical, no matter how fast it moves, it still is not faster than God. So Paul addressed his identity crisis. There's no greater statement that addresses the reality of God's identity than that was Paul, was spoken by Paul here. He gave an expert testimony against the misidentification in that scripture in Acts 17 of the true and living God. I would have read it, but for time wise, I want you to read it. There they had this inscription of the unknown God. He gave an expert testimony against the misidentification of the true and living God, and through his own passion and experience made it plain that God is more than the figure of a deity. We must develop as we go personal experience of our divine connection, of our I am-ness ourselves, not just gathering outlines to preach. You know, God just dealt with me about that humming stuff. I got back into that. I had to repent and ask my church to forgive me, because a lot of revelation was being left out, and the Lord was trying to take me deeper and higher in different levels, so I got back to it. But we must, this misidentification of the true and living God, and through his own passion and experience, see, Paul had passion and experience himself, made it plain that God is more than a figure of a deity. Now, to give you an illustration, and I'm going to use a financial illustration. I always tell them, I'm not ever after money. I don't have to. Money's after me. But a young man sold $1,000 to me and said, I won't pay my house off. Then another young man sold $1,000 to me and said, I won't pay my house off. Then another young man sold $500 to me. He wanted to build a house. He didn't tell me that, but he sold $500. But I called the man who gave me the $500 and told him the house he wanted to build was too small. I told him, step it up. I told him, don't worry about credit. Don't worry about how much money he had. Just get the house he wants, and the house will manifest. I was riding my golf cart this morning, and the Lord says, I passed the man's house and gives $1,000. And I just looked at it, and I said, that's how I pay it off. And the Spirit of God revealed to me is that $1,000 is connected to a house that is paid off. See, his house is connected to my house by that connection. And the Spirit of God just told me that. We got to have manifestation. We got to have demonstration. We got to have experiences that have come out of the Bible in our lives as leaders. We got to come to the point where we realize that this world is not our source, but God is in everything. And when we got, when we begin to recognize Robaraske telemonzu gudet de boku tsaya yuka. When we give the Holy Spirit a chance to manifest God, to demonstrate God, to give us experiences that are manifested out in the open that those who are following us can see and recognize and realize the revelation and the reality of God is manifested in our lives, then they'll be more apt to follow and more apt not to turn for this relaxed atmosphere, but to stay in hot pursuit behind the real God and not sell it just for devotion about God, but really recognize the presence of God in them. Let's go on. You need to put a clock on me, son. I don't know where I'm at. He said these people gave God a personality by creating idols and inscription that simply addresses existence. Now watch, without ascribing any true supernatural aspect to him, nor requiring a true relationship with him. Hell Mars, he's still in Acts 17. Here's what we're saying. What those people are doing, given, and to a large degree, that's what we can't let happen to us. You know, it might not be just like that. We say we know God, but if we don't have no manifestation and demonstration, it's weak. It's weak. You just be up there every Sunday talking, and your life is never getting in alignment. And there's no reason for no one to be connected to me, my ministry, of my vision, and you're not improved. There's no reason. The only reason that can happen is you not paying attention. It got to happen. It got to happen. When I connected to men, when I connected to Fred Price, when I connected to Kenneth Hagin, they had results in their life. I have the same results now because I did what it took for it to happen. You cannot just sit around and think the same way and have the same result. The presence of God is in you just like it's in me or anybody else. So what I want LTM to realize is that we're connected for a reason to set in front of this generation the I am-ness of God and that God is a good God. That's what I'm talking about. So these people gave God a personality by creating idols and inscriptions that simply addresses existence without ascribing any true supernatural aspect to him, nor requiring a true relationship with him. You see? So this is what we got to have some supernatural aspect of God, and we got to make a requirement, as I'm making on you, those downline under you, of a true relationship with him. And when we have a true relationship with God, our life don't stay on the same level. We don't have the same thing next year, next year, next year. So anything need to be checked, you need to check yourself because personally, nobody can hold you down when you're flowing and functioning in the reality of the presence of God in you. Manifestations take place. John 4:19-24 describes an important encounter that the Samaritan woman at the well had with Jesus. It described the problem of not really knowing him and it concerns the identity of God. From this text, it is apparent that people can go through the motion of worship toward God while remaining absolutely clueless about his actual nature and character. We cannot let that happen in our generation. Because this world and technology are going to smuggle in. Our technology must be greater than the world technology. Jesus told a woman, I'm almost through. Jesus told a woman that we must worship God in spirit and truth. What are the true template for having a meaningful relationship with the Almighty God? The definition of, give you the definition of spirit, I'm going to give you the definition of truth. Spirit is the nature of God's existence and eternal substance. The nature of God's existence, hallelujah, and eternal substance. When you get down to truth, it's the legitimacy of all that proceeds from and by God. With those two, you can go anywhere. Let me give it to you again. He said you must worship me in spirit and truth. You know what spirit means? the nature of God's existence and eternal substance. My. Truth now. The legitimacy of all that proceeds from and by God. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. In many cases, it is not about what God wants, but it's our self-serving journey of personal lust and ambition with God as a slot machine, whose duty it is to grant every desire of man. Let me go back over there. In many cases, it's not about what God wants, but it's having a self-serving journey of personal lust and ambition. See, God got to know you're real. And then we cannot let the church take the scripture as a hammer to pull God as a slot machine. And then God is obligated to grant every desire of man. No. Man must put God first and do what God wants. If you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and right, and all these things be added to you. So we got to train people like that. Junior and I talked sometime as we step further into the apostolic, how God is almost it's a manual setup where most of our churches, people come just to get what they want. And we've got to train them about John 14:12, the works and the greater works. They have to understand that. I'm going to go to another scripture here in Isaiah 65:1. And I want y'all to get that scripture, Isaiah 65:1, because it teaches a lesson. I think we should, at this segment of making this transfer, as we go on to get not letting nothing shake us to come up modern, we're going to still yield to the Spirit of God, let God have his will. And Isaiah 65:1, it says, I sought of them that asked not for me. I am fond of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. In other words, somebody else is getting it, but we who are called by his name should be getting it. In this text, God is telling the people that I am is being sought by those who didn't have the religious upbringing, nor who followed the tradition of man, but he is being sought by people who will hunger for him and will desire him as he really is. Otherwise, some of the traditional stuff that block you and keep you from getting close to God. People are tired. Watch this. People are tired of religion, and they need relationships. Wow, listen. If the Holy Spirit don't get nothing to breathe on us, people are tired of religion, and they need relationships. And that's why it's so important now that we present God present to them. What? 1 John 4:4, you have overcome them, little children. His name should be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. People have a tendency, we have to train people to stop looking at the effects in their lives and to look at the cause, or to stop looking without for answer and look from within, because the cause is within, the effect is without. People are tired of religion, and they need relationship. Religion has never painted a true picture of God's identity or presence. Listen. Religion has never painted a true picture of God's identity or presence. How long have I been going, Junior? David?
Had to unmute my line, sir. You've been gone about 40 minutes.
All right, let's go a little more. Now the restoration of spiritual families is taking place. Apostolic leaders are reestablishing the family tree that God ordained through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus did more than save our soul. He saved our seed. The inner circle know this, that I train leaders who pass in churches how to train their siblings, their children, their seed, to keep their legacy going. It's all right, all them nice, fine people you got around you. That's good in your church. But your children need to be trained right now to know that their legacy, and I'm not don't push them aside for your right hand man or your right hand woman. Some of y'all might be right hand on the phone. It doesn't matter to me. The first family comes first. You need to train them and have them close, let them learn the things. You passing your anointing on to them. That's very important. That's very important. I don't care what nobody else said, it's very important. So now the restoration of the spiritual family is taking place. Apostolic leaders are reestablishing the family tree that God ordained to the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus did more than save our soul, he saved our seed. All right, let me go a little longer. Bear with me here. The promise and presence of God. The promises of God are a vehicle for something powerful to be given to us. See that? Now you can set in Romans 4:16 through 20 or 22. You'll see that with Abraham, the lesson with Abraham. It's so powerful, the promises of God, all the promises of God are yeah and amen. So there's a scripture set here in 2 Peter 1:4, talking about the divine nature. The promise of God revealed his divine nature, or the I am experience, because I have his divine nature. God's promises are more than a statement of fact. As a spiritual leader, develop strong covenant relationship with their sons and daughters, there will be an impartation of God's promises to them. And that's what I'm going to do. The leader's life will be a demonstration of promises fulfilled and will show God to the spiritual sons and daughters. And that's my aim all the time. Each time our disciples receive and act on these promises, another level of the I am experience, the divine nature, will arise in them. Notice Moses, put the scripture down and you're going to get a copy of it. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, God was sending Moses with the I am, the ever present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T, present, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, of God to the generations that will follow him. We're about to see that same manifestation today through the office of the apostle, that government, that pioneer, that's jumping out the boat, jumping in the water. We will help people know their God by introducing him to his ever-present presence. I'm trying to close. As leaders, we must pass on more than our gifts. Here we go. To our posterity. We must give them God. In other words, some of us are talented. Some of us can sing. Some of us can master our line. But we don't want to do that. The thing is, if it's fumbling, and that's all I do, if it's fumbling, you want to pass on something beyond what you just saying, that it become a reality to the person you're saying it to. And I think training our children is the beginning of the training. How you train your sons and your daughters, your blood sons and daughters, then your other sons and daughters in the spirit, train them the same way. We must give God to the nation to shape their purpose and destiny. Listen, the absence of an intimate generational relationship between God and his people is the recipe for generational genocide. And look, we're looking at some of that. People are straying away from the real God, and they're having a form of godliness and not the power thereof. They ever studied, but never come into the knowledge of truth. Oh, they can quote scripture. But you remember what God said about scripture? Jesus said, search the scripture. You think you have life to testify on me. You won't come to me that you might have life. So scripture, don't let scripture quoting fool you. It's manifestation and demonstration really what taught. But when leaders wholly follow God, it releases the promises of God, which in turn will enable the leader to release his favor and blessing on a generation that follows. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. We must be. Every person on the side of our board, you must let God bless you beyond where you are now. You must. Jesus said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, they shall be filled. So as a pattern son, as a pattern daughter, you must recognize our connection, our relationship is not an accident. And God has so much in. But when leaders wholly follow God, it releases the promises of God, which in turn will enable the leader to release his favor and blessing on the generation that follow him. We got to get it before we can give it. We just can't sit back and say, well, I can't be in the same, I can't be on the same bus with those who I'm leading. If I get on the bus, I need to get on the bus and tell them there's a better ride ahead of time. We can get off this bus and have your own poison. You see what I'm saying? Joshua 14:9. I'll close when I finish. Joshua 14:9. Look at that verse. Y'all got your phone and stuff. This is so good. As I studied and saw these things, you know, I do a lot of study, read behind a lot of apostles, because I want the apostolic mantle got to be real here. In Joshua 14:9, it says, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. We have to tell the people, following God is no failure. We have to let them see in our lives that God manifests and demonstrates. So I want everybody in the LTMA to recognize that you're going to another level. I'm not going to permit you to sit around here talking about you're a member of LTMA and you don't grow and you don't develop. Every trial, every test you go through is for a reason. It's God trying to take you somewhere else. Stop them little sideline conversations. And because the Lord hears everything you say, your inward conversation, even your thoughts. That's what the Lord looking. Remember Samuel? He said, I don't look at that. God looking at your heart. See what you're thinking. What you're saying on the inside. What you think about LTMA. What you think about me as a spiritual father. What you thinking when I do certain things. And what you thinking when the LTMA do certain things for me. What do you think about that? How you going to get what you're supposed to get and you thinking wrong and you saying things wrong and you let somebody call you on the phone and talk about this thing? You cannot do that. That's the thing that's hindering us from getting what we need to get. Everybody need to be out of debt. Everybody need to be, their ministry need to be at peace and walking with God. But it is not going to happen if we stay in the same mode of thinking. The inward conversation and the outward conversation must come in connection, must come in agreement, must be able to cast things down when they come up, stop a person when they start talking wrong. We can't say the wrong thing about money. We can't say the wrong thing about our leader. We just can't do that. This is not going to work. And that's what some of the things that hinder some of us. We can't let that happen to us. Listen, I love you. I want the best for you. I don't want to take nothing from you. But I know what it takes for you to get where I am. And even further, you're supposed to go further than me. It takes a lot of things that we're doing. Let me close with this. The apostles are agents of change. We're sent to give the I am of God to every son and daughter until a supernatural presence of God overtakes them and influences their every movement. I think it's a good one to drop off on you. The promises and presence of God are the fabric every future event in the kingdom of God. In fact, they're the foundation for the future. Listen, let me give this to you in closing from Joshua 14:9. We all are agents of change, pioneers, bringing forth the real apostolic government back to the church, to y'all pushing the churches that are under me. The apostles are agents of change. We're sent to give the I am, that identity, of God to every son and daughter until a supernatural presence of God overtake them and influences their every movement. The promises and presence of God are the fabric. The promises and presence of God are the fabric. In other words, tailor-made by the Holy Ghost. So every future event in the kingdom of God, in fact, they are the foundation for the future. Now, class, it cannot be no clearer than that. And we know that we're moving from one dimension to another dimension right here and right now. I said the presence of God moving, and I think that enough have been saved for your changes to start taking place today. Your changes to start taking place today in Jesus' name. So be able to take up in our next impartation. Now, don't forget, leaders, to check with who wasn't on the line, because I'd really like for everybody to be there. I know some traveling, some may not be able, but make sure we emphasize prior to impartation the importance of being on the line. I'm going to Dr. Fogg Church, Columbus Christian Center, on Thursday. There's some new revelation that I'm going to be passing out to the body of Christ on the basis of their financial freedom. And we're making a few changes. I'm going to let Dr. Fogg choir and praise and the musician sing. I'm not bringing anybody with me because I think it's time now in the apostolic. My apostolic stance is I want to see his talent. I want to see his people in action as an overseer of his ministry. I may do it. I don't know how far God will do it. I may do it some other churches. To let the talents come out in the churches, and for me as an apostle to see what the condition of the church is and how the church is moving. We'll start that at Dr. Fogg Church on this week. I'll let his people sing, as I say, and I'll minister the word. I'm excited about it. I prayed about it. There's some things God wants to say. So if you ever get there, get there. If you're not able, get online and participate. With the service. Leroy, back in your hands, son. Thank you all so much. In the apostolic, sometimes there are changes made. We can't worry about people feeling being hurt. We have to train them how to shift. Somebody talking with me? When the Holy Spirit is shifting, just like we had the intercessors, where I had them in the pulpit a while, I had them different places. Well, then, one day, I took them down. Lord led me to take them down. And so, the same way I'm doing now, when I'm going to Dr. Paul, I usually have my singer and I have some guitar players and stuff with me, but I'm going to use his people this year. We have to be willing to make changes. Changes are important when the Holy Spirit is leading you to do certain things. You cannot be overly concerned about somebody feeling how they're feeling going to get hurt or whatever God's telling you to do, you got to do. That's the way I'm trying to train y'all in the LTMA. When something is transpiring, if I miss it, God's going to help us. If you miss it, God's going to help you. But by the same token, when God tell you to make a change, just go ahead and make the change. Don't get locked down on who or what they're going to think. You can't do that. It's not pioneering. That's the problem. That's the pastoral anointing we've had all these years. When that apostolic comes, all that pastoral leg going to be cut off because they need to be apostolic pastoral and not overly concerned about how people, per se, feel if there's a spiritual level God trying to bring people to make some changes, that everything is not going to be the same way all the time. I'm finding out in this apostolic position and this apostolic mantle that, but I always... Let me back up a little bit. I don't know how long I've been operating in the apostolic anointing because I know I operated different than a pastor. I would make changes that the normal pastor wouldn't make. So, and you don't just jump and do things, but as you're led by the Spirit of God, people who are following you and recognize that God had told them to follow you will always flow, because they know when you make a change, you make a move, they're about to go somewhere else. So don't be overly concerned about that. Don't be overly concerned about those who act like they don't want to follow no more. They were not of you anyway. So just with the wisdom of God and the understanding of God, there are going to be changes in all of your ministry and all your lives. And let's just get ready for it. Let's do what we need to do. Thank you, Leroy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Don't forget, as the apostle mentioned, about the supernatural money coming to you at Columbus, which is August 8th and 9th. And again, it will be at 7 p.m. Thursday night, Friday morning at 10 a.m., and Friday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. all times Eastern Standard. Be sure to check with your various MVBs about your input, about your call, your circle call that you'll have. If you don't have the call coordinates, be sure to contact them. And thank you much for joining the call.